And friends, it's good to be here. I'm thankful for this morning. We can worship together and learn and grow in God's Word. And I'm so thankful for every one of you who serve as ministry volunteers, who serve as leaders, as helpers in this church. I think ministry could never happen without the faithful service of so many people here. Those who serve in, those who teach, those who in the nursery, those who set up coffees, refreshments, I mean, greeters, all the ministry, those who lead worship, I think we're all thankful. I feel very thankful for every one of you. Our church is called, New Covenant, New Covenant, Alliance Church. And it crossed my mind that one of our covenants, being a member of a church, is a covenant to serve in the name of Christ. Serving meaning in a church as member is becoming involved actively in the ministry and the church body, helping others to know the love of Jesus, to know Jesus. And that's the most amazing things. And it's the people of the church body that make ministry happen. You know, whenever people suggest to me a new ministry, I would say, are there people available or be ready to take up the ministry, to serve? If there's none, then it's not ready. So we have to pray. I suggest to them that first we pray. Pray for the workers. Harvest is plentiful, but where are the workers? So the Lord of harvest, our Lord Jesus, taught us, pray for workers, for the harvest is plentiful. There's so many needs, but so few workers. So many needs and so few people who are willing to serve like Jesus. So today, the whole day is dedicated to appreciate everyone who serve, and we feel thankful for everybody. But this morning, please open your Bible, a Bible like this, or in your cell phone, okay, the cell phone version. Open your Bible to John chapter 13. Catherine just led us to read that portion of scriptures. I want from this portion of scriptures to share with you this message and truth about how to serve like Jesus. How to serve like Jesus. Now, let me begin by a simple thought. You know hand gesturing, okay, is a common way. Marcus, can you help to switch the slide? Or you have something for me to do that? Yeah. Oh, it's over there. can you bring it to me, please? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I like the name Marcus. Strong. Thank you.
Yeah. And he has a strong father. Hand gesturing, you know, is a way, common way to express ourselves, right? We shake people's hand to express our friendliness. Look at this. Put those both hands together like a T shape is to signal what? Time out. Time out. How about military officers? Raise their hands above their forehead, you know, to salute people of higher ranks, right? This is how they do that. They salute to the superior or people of higher ranks. And Chinese people, they understand when another person pour you a cup of tea, what do you do? What do you do? Oh,
in that corner. I didn't see.
Okay. You should use two fingers or knuckles to tap on the table to say thank you, right? Oh, you know that. You're raised up in that culture, right? Many people know the origin of the tradition, but in case you don't, there's something I learned. I want to share with you, okay? Once there is a dynasty in China called Qing Dynasty. How many people heard of that? Qing Dynasty, right? There was an emperor called Qin Nong, you know Qin Nong, okay? Yeah. Now, the king left the palace, and he went to one of his southern provinces, and He hid his true identity. The king put on plain clothes. He brought two servants. They call it Taigama eunuchs, right? Eunuchs, yeah. And they travel and they rest at a tea shop, okay? Now, the king Qin Nong, he saw a tea master performing a show. Now, this show master, this expert, he put three cups, tea cups, okay, on the table, and with a special teapot, a long stem, you know, long stem teapot, okay? The expert quickly filled all these three teacups, okay, from this special teapot with a long stem from a long distance. Have you watched that, tea performance before? From a long distance, the tea master can pour water, hot water, over a long distance into the three teacups on the table. Now, the king was amazed, you know, he was thrilled. He politely asked the master if he could try the trick. Now, Qin Nong was a very smart and skillful king, okay? Now, the king repeat the same process and pour out the three teacups, one for himself, the other two for his two servants, the eunuchs, you know? Now, that create a very awkward moment, because how could the two servants allow his king, his majesty, to serve them tea, right? It's no-no in the old days, right? So if they bow before the emperor for his gracious act, then people would immediately know, oh, that is the king. That was the Qin Nong, right? Now, one smart eunuch, the servant, he figured out a smart way to pay tribute to the king. He used two knuckles, okay, on the table as a symbol for kneeling down before the king, right? That's how the tradition began. Aha, now you know, okay? So what should you do? If you want people to treat you as king, what should you do? You serve them with tea. Serve them with tea, they kneel before you. They treat you as king. Now, it is very normal and customary way to serve senior people, like me. Whether they're older or of a higher position, the same is true in biblical culture, right? But in John chapter 13, Jesus, our Lord, he broke this paradigm. He broke this pattern. The King of Kings and Master of all, he served his disciples by what? By washing their feet. Okay? That's never been done before. That's never happened before. Now, Jesus and the disciples, they were eating the Last Supper. That was the final private moment Jesus shared with his disciples before he went to the cross, right? So that was also the last opportunity for our Lord Jesus to give out any final instructions and teachings. Now, besides giving a teaching, a powerful teaching in John chapter 13, Jesus did a demonstration, a show and tell. So we learn from what he did and what he said for our sake, this picture of a servant. Jesus was willing to become a servant of all. Okay? Now, based on that passage, we'll focus on three things: love, save, and serve. Starting with love, go on with saving, and then becoming a servant of all. Now, that's the way we learn how to serve like Jesus. So let's begin. How do we serve like Jesus? We serve with love. Verse 1 tells us, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time has come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus understood that he would leave the disciples very soon. He loved them. He loved them so much that he used his own hands to wash their feet. Now, many of us probably have wonderful memories of our parents loving us when we were kids. It can be simple as a hug, as a gentle touch, as holding your hands. You know, my dad was a traditional fatherly figure. He was very tall. He was from Shantung. You know, I was tall because he was tall. I'm tall, he was tall, but I am thin because my mom is from Canton, from Hong Kong. So I'm tall and thin. So a wonderful figure, right? So my dad, he was a traditional father figure, but he worked hard to provide for our family and the children. And the way he expressed love is holding my hand. His hands was big and thick, like a bear, you know. He holds my hand. I feel his warmth. I feel his tenderness. I feel his care. I feel his protection when he holds my hand. So my dad was not shy to show his love through actions and words. I learned from my dad. So I hug my daughters all the time until they become teenagers. Don't touch me, you know. I hug them all the times. I told them even if I live to 100 years old, I would like to hug them and love them, you know? Now, when being used in an appropriate way, our hands can send signals of encouragement, of love. For example, when I visit elderly patients, elderly people, I like to hold their hands by their bedside when I pray with them, okay? Then I know they feel the love and acceptance, you know, right away. Jesus washed the disciples' feet to demonstrate he loved them so deep and so much. So in verses 2-3, it appears quite shocking to me because it said the evening meal was being served and the devil has already promised Jesus, Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and would returning to God. Now, if I were Jesus, if you were Jesus, and I knew that Judas planned to do that, to betray me, and if I had the mighty power, I would get rid of Judas, right? Right away. But that's not what Jesus did. He washed Judas' feet. Check out verses 4-5. So Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus got up, washed his disciples' feet, that include Judas' feet. At that time, you know, people wear sandals, you know. They wore sandals. The roads were unpaved, very dusty, very dirty. Now, therefore, every time when your guests came because of invitation for a meal, you as host would assign a servant to wash their feet. No, it's a humble job. It's done by the lowest servant. On that night, there was no servant to serve anybody. But Jesus took up that role. Jesus' action shocked the disciple by taking up that tremendous, you know, amazing duty. But how could Jesus serve even the traitor who would betray him in a matter of hours? It's unthinkable. But because of love, Jesus loved his own people to the end, even those who did not choose to love him back. That's the love of God. Apostle Paul stated in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us even when we were rebellious, when we are still defiant, when we do not know him, let alone doing anything in exchange for his love. We live in a world, in a society, where I scratch your back, you scratch mine, right? But Jesus calls to us, love even our enemies, even people who disagree with us, even people who dislike us. Who are your enemies? It can be those who do not treat you nicely because of what you believe. In Canada, Christianity is gradually pushed to the corner. Our faith is being conceived as being marginal. Every day we treat people who have a different attitude toward our faith. Okay? So it can be your colleague or your classmates who call you names. It can be your next-door neighbor who ridicules you for celebrating Christmas instead of Halloween. It can be your family members, even your spouse, who reject your faith. How should you deal with these people? Jesus' answer is simple. Serve them with love. Serve them the best you can. Love them, demonstrate the way Jesus loves you. This world thinks it's reasonable to retaliate to those who mistreat you. You are considered a noble person if you walk away and ignore the offense. But if you choose to love them who dislike you, disagree with you, who hate you, you serve them, you help them, then people realize such love is not from this world. It springs from your faith in Jesus. Right? So serve like Jesus. Serve with love. Not only those who like you, who agree with you, but you serve with those who dislike you, who disagree with you, because you show them the love of Jesus in your heart. Secondly, serving like Jesus means, serve with sacrifice. The second word we can pick up in this passage is save. Now, Jesus used foot washing to illustrate his salvation. Okay? Every disciple was so shocked to say a word when Jesus washed their feet. Everyone except Peter, he found it unacceptable. No, he said. He found it unacceptable to let his master wash his feet. But Jesus responded in verse 7, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Now the disciples knew that Jesus was showing them an example of humble servant, but they could not comprehend the full meaning beyond that. It was not until after Jesus rose from the dead and then the disciples finally realized and connect the dots. They then fully understand who Jesus was and all his teaching. Now at that point, Jesus only gave them a hint. So he continued with his conversation with Peter in verse 8. Jesus said to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me, with me." By washing the disciples' feet, Jesus indicated they belong to him. In simple terms, they were saved by Jesus. Jesus used water to represent his blood. A person can only be saved of his sins if the sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now, you may quickly think and ask, what about Judas? Didn't Jesus also wash Judas' feet? Was he saved too? Judas wasn't saved because he rejected Jesus completely. We can get a cue from Jesus' own word in verses 10 to 11. In this passage, Jesus said, "And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Okay. So Jesus knew. If we interpret the word clean as those who have an eternal relationship with Jesus, then Judas was not saved. Enough to say, it's sad to see a person like Judas who was so close to Jesus but was not saved eventually. It was so sad to see that. But be reminded, there are a lot of times I see there are many quote-unquote Judas too in every church. They do everything that Christian does, attend church meetings, serve, offer money and the rest, but they don't have an eternal relationship with Jesus. That's very sad. Now, we should not make judgment. We should never make judgment on any person and conclude that, he is a true Christian, he's not. Okay, only God examines people's heart and know the true fact. But we should examine our own heart and ask a very fundamental question. Is Jesus the master of my life? Someone put it well. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not what? Our Lord at all. Because we call out to Jesus as Lord Jesus, not just beautiful Jesus, simple Jesus, cute Jesus. No, we say Lord Jesus. So now let's go back to the first half of verse 10 and explore another aspect. Jesus said, whoever wants to be a person who had a bath needs, that's when first half of verse 10. Okay. Jesus said, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. Now, Jesus was responding to Peter's request. Peter said, oh, wash my whole body from here to, from tiptoe to hair to hair tip. Peter thought if the washing of feet a simple relationship with Jesus, he would like the full package, total package, you know, the luxury package, something like that. Therefore, Peter asked the Lord to wash his hands, his head as well. But Jesus pointed a common practice in those days. When a person was invited to a meal, he would take a bath at home before going out. Okay? But since his feet would be covered with dust from the walking to the place of the host, he had to be washed again before entering the host's home. Jesus was saying the person who is saved has been cleansed of his or her sin. But since a believer will still sin in the process of sanctification, there need to be continuing confession and cleansing and renewal in our mind and our spirit. So that's why a promised life, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 comes in mind. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. You know, therefore, the confession is not about receiving salvation, it's about the removal of our guilt, the renewing of our mind, that would be the removal of anything that will affect blocking our relationship with our Lord. Just like the relationship between parents and their children, there's nothing a children can do to cut them off from the love, the protection, and the care of their parents, but disobedience will grieve the hearts of a father, of a mother. Rebellious child need to admit the wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness to restore a harmonious relationship in the family. That's why serving with sacrifice, having all this in our heart, in our mind, that before we serve, renew our heart, renew our mind. Ask the Lord to remove any guilt, any things that displease the Lord, so that when we serve, we're not serving like a hypocrite. We're not serving like with wearing a mask, being nice, but we serve with a renewing of our mind. You know? Ask the Lord to cleanse us. Ask the Lord to renew us. Ask the Lord to put his thought, his mind, his love, his patience, every fruit of the Holy Spirit into our heart before we serve. So serve with love, serve with sacrifice, serve with humility. Let's quickly review what we have learned so far. The passage teaches us we serve like Jesus is by serving with love like Jesus, we're serving with sacrifice like Jesus provides. And the next word is the word serving. Verse 14 to 15, okay. Okay, oh, I missed that. In John chapter 13, look at your Bible. Verses 14 to 15, Jesus told his disciples why he served them by washing their feet. Okay, I didn't have that on the slide, but you can look at your Bible. Verses 14 to 15 says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example what you should do as I have done for you. Now, by definition, a disciple is the follower who, the teachers, what he says, what he does. But Jesus did not just give us instruction. He did it for his disciples. Not too long ago, remember, the disciples were debating who was the greatest among them. It's like us nowadays. Oh, what I think, what I do is the greatest thing. You should listen and follow and etc. You know, they're debating who was the greatest among them. And Jesus grabbed the opportunity to teach them the principle of servanthood. That's why in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 44, it echoes Jesus' teaching by repeating, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Okay? Jesus would never ask his disciples to do what he was unwilling to do first. Washing feet did not need any supernatural power. It did not require extra gifting, extra talent, but one thing is needed: humility. Humility is so rare today. Humility, true humility, is so rare. In our life circumstances, you may meet a coach or mentor who encourages you to try a new approach, to try give a little bit harder. You grumble in your heart. Yeah, right. It's easy to talk. Huh? Why don't you try yourself? You know. But when we picture a good leader, we picture qualities like vision, like communication, like skill, like so on and so on. But Jesus added to that list one more important thing. And the first thing to start with, humility. It's very rare today in this society. Everything is so centered around oneself and nobody else. The whole world surrounds just everyone just centered around individualism. You know, it's so rare today about humility. Humility is not becoming like a doormat and people just walk on you. Humility is knowing who you are, what you have inside, what you can do, but you restrain yourself and in submissiveness to God, His will, His plan, His way, and then act like Jesus. While service is a spiritual gift lived in the Bible, but you don't need that gift of humility before you serve, because that's every believer's, when a believer is born again, when the Holy Spirit resides in his or her heart, that comes, that's inside of us. But there are some Christians who can do it most effectively. Ultimately, I find serving is not a matter of the hands, it's a matter of heart. If you have a heart, you serve. If you have love, you serve with love. Right? It's not what you know, what you can do, it's what you have in your heart. So the question is, are we willing to lend a hand when seeing someone in need? You know, when I and my Simo study in the seminary days, okay, we serve as a counselor in the fellowship committee, right? And one day the church invited a guest speaker for a big event, and many people came, and we were studying in the seminary. So at the meeting, we serve refreshment. After the meeting, we serve refreshment like we do here in NCAC. And there's a little baby, a toddler, was sitting with his mom, with her, and all of a sudden, the kid threw up. You know, all the yellowish, everything, you know, just threw up. Everybody, everywhere on the ground. Now, naturally, the mom would use napkins to clean up her child. But what about the mess on the floor? Oh, everybody was chatting, eating, you know. It seems nobody saw the mess on the floor. But I saw it. I saw it. If I saw it, I would do something. So I went to the back to get the mop, supply, and did the cleanup, you know. There's nothing earth-shattering about this. But I just did what the mom expects others to help her with. Okay? There are certain works, certain things that you may be unwilling to do. But will you do it for Jesus' sake, out of your love for Jesus, or to show Jesus to others? Jesus did not ask us to wash others' feet, so don't start a group called washing people's feet group, anyway. No, it's a principle. Okay? I don't need you to wash my feet, but you're welcome to wash my dishes, to help me lifting heavy loads. Because of my age, I couldn't do it too much. You may be a supervisor at work, you may have a team or employee under your management, but in Christ, we are brothers and sisters. In the church, some people may choose to serve in more visible roles, in the classroom, in the podium. We need that. But we find more people are needed who have a heart to serve as greeters in the nursery, you know, visitations, caring, driving people to church, you know, serve in the kitchen, clean the bathroom, maintain our facilities, care for people for the things people love and treasure about. Besides ministry duties, there are brothers and sisters who need special attentions. There may be people who are physically challenged. There may be patients with chronic diseases who are too weak to come to church meetings. Elderly people, in our church there are a lot of elderly people, elderly brothers and sisters who cannot come to church meetings. You know. They need someone to care for them, to talk to them, to drive them around, to help them, to encourage them, to pray for them. Are you willing to share your time? Not washing their feet, but sharing your time with them. Now, no matter what ministry it is, ask God to give you attentive eyes, attentive ears, a servant's heart, and a love of Christ, and then the hands and feet of Jesus to serve. That's serving like Jesus. Quote unquote, incarnational serving. His heart, Jesus' feet and hand, you know, Jesus' attitude and mindset. His eyes become our eyes. So in conclusion, for our sake, Jesus was willing to become a servant of all. A servant has no choice but to serve his master. When Jesus served, go with your master and serve. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords willingly came into our world, came to your world and my world, came to your circumstances and my circumstances to serve us, to wash our feet. So serve like Jesus. Tell the world you have Jesus in your heart. Amen. Let's pray. Love must be sincere, Bible says. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you have entrusted us with the good news of your gospel. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be your disciple. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done and continue to do in our life, and all the things that you show us. Help us to open our eyes so we can see what you see. Open our ears so we can hear what you hear. Thank you, Lord, for everybody here, for equipping everyone here with gifts for ministry. But we pray for the willingness in heart that we can serve with gladness. We can serve with humility. We serve with sacrificial attitude. I pray for everyone here, from a pastor to leaders to everybody who are in this church. Sustain them when they serve you, on the days when they are tired. Give them the strength to serve your people with patience, mercy, and grace. Give them extra guidance, extra strength, extra love. And as they serve you, I pray you give them joy through a glimpse of your kingdom in the faces of those whom they serve. Lord, live in our life, reign in our heart, abide with us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.